Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Mem Vav. We're going to begin on the bottom of Mem He Omud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We're starting a new sugya. We're going to deal a little bit with conversions, with Geirus. So the Gemara starts off three lines from the bottom, Mem He Omud Beis. Omer Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Omer Rav. Rav Chama Bar Gurya says the name of Rav. Halokeach Eved Min HaOved Kochavim. The person purchases a Eved Kenani from an Ovi Kochavim. The Ovi Kochavim, the guy, is the one that owns this Eved. The Kodam, and when the Yid purchases this Eved, he wants to do a Tvila for him to turn him into an Eved Kenani. But the Eved goes and into the mikvah, Kodam, the Tova, L'shem Ben Chorim, and he goes to do the Tvila to convert, so he won't become an Eved Kenani, he'll become a free person. So, Kono Atzmo Ben Chorim. Rav Chama Bar Gurya Omar Rav tells us that this Eved has in fact successfully become a Yid. He has converted into becoming a Yid. The conversion was done here, L'shem Geiris, and therefore it is a valid conversion. Now, how does this work? My timer, he was owned by the other guy. The guy sold him to the Yid. How could this Eved, so to say, preempt that sale and go and convert? My time, why was this a successful conversion that he becomes now a Yid rather than becoming an Eved Ivri? You have to be Tovel and Eved Ivri, L'shem, to become an Eved Ivri. So how did this work? We turn to Mem Vavim and Aleph. That's because Ove Kochavim Gufa Lo Konile. That's because the guy never really owned the Guf of the other guy. It doesn't work that way. They don't have a kinyan in the guf of the person, and therefore, the only thing that the guy was able to sell over here when he was selling the Eved was the rights to his handiwork, so to say, the kinyan peirus. My dekani lehu demakni le Yisrael. The only thing that he owned, that's what he's able to sell to the Yid. So he never owned the guf, he only owned the right to work this person, and therefore, that's all that he sold. V'kivim dekodam v'tova l'shem ben chorim, Afkie Lishibude. And since this guy, who was the Eved, went and toveled himself L'shem Geiris, so therefore, in that situation, he acquired himself and he got rid of the prior Shibud that the first guy had on him. How do we exactly understand this? The word says Kid the Rava. This works in accordance with what Rava said. What did Rava say? The Amar Rava, Hektish, in regards to if a person's Makdish an item, Chometz, again, very appropriate, Chometz right before Pesach, and for Shichra, and if a person frees something, so then all of these things are mafkin midei Shiva. They all take you away from having a Shiva. What does this mean? I just said a lot of words. What does it actually mean? So let's go through the Rashi. Rashi is on the second line. So Rashi tells us what Hekdish, Chometz, and Shichra do over here, that they are able to remove a prior lien. They're able to go and take out from a prior shibud to eradicate that prior shibud and create a new set of facts. So Rashi tells us, Hektish Chometz V'Shichra. So, for example, also Shor Apotiki. If a person made his shor like the collateral, he says, if I don't pay you back the loan, Reuven lends Shimon $100. So Shimon says, okay, I will pay you back the $100. If I don't, here's my shor. Apo Tehei Koi. From this apotiki, that's a mnemonic here for this will be the way you'll collect your money. If I don't pay you back, so this shor will be the way that I pay you back. So this shor now has a shibud on this shor that it will be used to go pay back the $100 loan that Reuven had lent Shimon if Shimon doesn't pay back the loan. Then what does Shimon do? He's makdish the shor. V'kdisho lemizbech. He says, I'm bringing this shor to be a carbon. The havi kedushas aguf. That goes and consecrates the shor at Kedushas HaGuf. So that Kedushas HaGuf that Shimon put on the shor is Poka Shibudo de Kama. That goes and removes the apotiki status that the shor had. Even though he first had made it an apotiki, but that apotiki was not a full Shibud HaGuf of the shor. It was just saying, if I don't pay you back, so then you'll use this shor. So therefore, when he's Makadesh this shor, it removes the Shibud HaGuf. However, Avo Kedushas Berakabayis Lo Mifka. It wouldn't work if this was just a Berakabayis. He just donated this shor for Berakabayis purposes. That makes it into a different type of Kenyan. Kiditnan in Erechin, the Gemara in Erechin tells us that Mosif Odina, in that situation, the person would be able to go and redeem it. You can't go and redeem a behemoth that was made into Kedushas Haguf to be brought as a carbon. But an animal was donated for Berakabayis. So then in that situation, all you have to do to redeem it is add on an additional dinar, and you can be pulled it. So therefore, in this situation, we're talking here only when you can take away the status of the apotiki of the shore is when you made it into Kedusha Saguf. The next case, Rashi tells us, oh, im osa chemso apotiki liovi kochavim. A guy lends you money, and you say, okay, I'll pay you back the $100. If I don't, here's $100 worth of bread. Right, I got $100 of frozen bagels over here, they'll be yours. And it's still in the possession of the Yid. If it had been in the possession of the Goy, so then the Goy actually would have been Konaed if the Yid doesn't pay back the money. But here it's still in the possession of the Yid. And now, Ubo Shei Shol Shalerev Pesach, now it's midday on Yud Dalet, so midday Oraisa, you're not allowed to own Chometz at that point in time. It's not yet an Isser of Koris, but it's an Isser Lav. You're not allowed to own Chometz after Chatzos, midday Oraisa. And therefore, that Chi of the Oraisa saying that you can't own Chometz is Paka Shibur Ovikal Chavim. That uproots, so to say, the prior Shibur that the bagels had to be given over to the guy if you didn't pay back the loan, because you're not allowed to own them anymore. So it removes it. It didn't yet belong to the guy. It was only a lien for the guy, and the Yid is not allowed to own it. So it's uprooted and taken away from the Yid. It's hefker. It doesn't belong to the Yid anymore. And finally, the third one is the shichur. I don't know why it's a separate dibur or maschal. The shichur is also abdo apotiki lechaveiro. If a person said, okay, Reuven lends Shimon $100, and Shimon says, if I can't pay back, so then my Eved will be the apotiki. Like we had the shor, he says, my Eved. Then the shichro. So then he goes and frees the Eved. This is the equivalent of going to be Makadish, the shor, and the Mizbeach. So now the Eved is freed. So Meshuchro, he is freed. Upaka, Mamono, Shomilva. And the prior lien that Reuven had on that Eved as being an apotiki goes away. So in all of these situations, Rava said that you can remove a prior lien. So too, this guy, when he went and converted and was Tovel himself, L'shem Geiris, so then he removes the prior lien that the guy, the first guy, had on his ability to work and the rights that he had in terms of the handiwork of the guy who's converting now. And therefore, when the first guy sells this Eved to the Yid, the Eved goes and converts, it removes the prior lien, and therefore he becomes a Ben Chorin. That's how this works. That's what Rav explained. Masa Rav Chista, Rav Chista questions this, and he says that once was a Maisa Bibloria Hagioris. Bibloria must have been some sort of a famous person who converted. So this was a well-known story. Shekodmu Avodel was a lady, and the Avodim that she had, they went before she converted. They were Tovel themselves. And therefore, this Maisa came before the Chachamim. They said, this worked. They actually acquired themselves as being a Yid, as being a free person, and no longer being a slave. They didn't become Eved Kenani to this glorious post her conversion, but they in fact became Bnei Chorin. Now, this is only true, the Gemara says, Lifanea, if they were Makadim, if they jumped ahead and they converted themselves, they toveled themselves before she toveled. So then she is a guy still, and they converted and they became therefore yidden. But that's only if it was before her conversion, before she was tovel in the mikvah. Lifonel in. However, lachrel, if she toveled first, then they tovel, lo, it doesn't work. Now this seems to be akasha on what we just said, because we said that when the situation was that the first guy sold his Eved to the Yid, so the Yid was already a Yid. Nevertheless, we had said in that situation that if the Eved was Tovel, not L'shem to be a Eved Kenani, but he was Tovel to be L'shem Geiris, it worked. But here, the Chacham said by the Maisa Bibloria that if she was already a free woman, if she was a Bas Chorin, so then it doesn't work. So Gemara says, Omar Rava says, no, that's not a problem. When we said over here, Lifaneha, it means Bein Bistam, Bein Bimeforish. When we said that if these Avadim of Bloria had went and converted, they were Tovel, before she converted, so then it didn't make any difference whether they did it L'shem Geirus or they did it L'shem Stam. They didn't have any specific intention. In that situation, we say that it's L'shem Geiris. But L'achra, if they were in fact Tovel after Bloria had herself become a Bas Chorin, so then it depends. If they did it L'shem Geirus, so then in that situation, it works. B'miforosh, in. However, if they did it B'stam, then lo, then it wouldn't work. If they didn't specify, I'm doing this L'shem Geiris, so then it doesn't work. Oh, and that's what happened over here. The guy in our case who sold the Eved to the Yid, so this guy who was the Eved, he did it l'shem geiris. That's why it worked. However, if he had just done it stam, so then it wouldn't have worked. So therefore, Rava is okay. Amar Rav Avya says, Lo Shana, we only said this din, that it makes a difference whether you're doing it l'shem geirus, ela belokeach mina ovi kochovim. That's only when you're dealing here with purchasing this evid from another guy. Aval ovi kochovim gufe kani. But if a guy sells himself to a yid, so then in that situation, the yid does acquire him when he does the tefillah. Because at that point in time, the guy can't say, ha, I'm doing this l'shem geirus. Because the pasuk says, "Megam ibnei hatoshavim hagorim imochem vehem tiknu." It says you will be allowed to go and acquire from the surrounding population if they are selling themselves. You can acquire them as avodim. So atem konim mehem, you can go and acquire from them. However, velohem konim mehem, but they cannot acquire from you. And likewise, velohem konim zemizet, and they can't sell one to another. So we see that a yid has the Torah right over here to acquire someone as an Eved, whereas the guy cannot go and acquire another guy or a Yid as an Eved. So we just said, Lo Heim Konim Mikem. What does that mean? Mimai. Lo Heim Konim Mikem Lemai. In regards to what are they not able to do this? If you're saying that a guy doesn't have the right to acquire a Yid in terms of having him sell, the Yid can't sell himself to the guy, yes he can. If you're doing it yourself, so to say, your rights for handiwork, you can sell yourself out. Is a guy not able to acquire the Maisa Yodav of a Yid? If a Yid is destitute and he wants to sell himself to a guy, so he's allowed to. Well, the Pasuk says, Ola Eker Mishpachas Ker. If a Yid is sold to a guy, so then that's permissible. This pasuk, Ola Eker, Mishpachas Ger, says that a Yid can sell himself to a guy. It's just what is accomplished by that sale, so that is effective in doing it l'maisa yadav. So, obviously, when it says, Velo heim konim mikem, it doesn't mean l'maisa yadav. Ela l'av, mustn't it mean l'gufei? This is in regards to the guf of the Yid that's never acquired by the guy. V'komarachmona atem konim mehem. So therefore, the implication is, when we acquire from them, it's different. We actually acquire not only the right to the Maisa Yadav, but we also acquire the guf. So that's what Rav Avya said. So, Parich Rav Acha says, wait a second, Eima B'kaspa over Tvila. Who says that this is the difference? Maybe it means you can go and acquire them with Kesef or with Tvila, that you can give Kesef and acquire them, or by doing a Tvila, you can acquire them. But before the tefillah, just because you gave over kesef, who says that you actually acquired the guf? It's only through the tefillah that you acquire the guf. So it says, Kasha, Yitaka, you're right. This is a good point that you're bringing out and left over here with the Kasha. Kasha doesn't mean that there's no teretz. It just means that the Gemara is saying this is a difficult answer, but there is an answer. In fact, Rav Avya was correct, albeit there's a question on it. How do we know that this is true? But Rav Avya's position is correct, that a Yid can acquire the guf of the guy who sells himself to the Yid even prior to the tefillah. The tefillah isn't what makes it. He'd have to do the tefillah to make it l'shem Eved Kenani, but it is not going to be something that the guy can then change his mind, so to say, and do the tefillah l'shem Geirus. Must point out that our understanding, obviously, of Avdus and how Avadim work is totally different today. None of these are halacha l'maisa. We do not practically or even in theory do avdus today. The times have changed, and the Torah is just teaching us the theoretical dealings over here in regards to avdus. The Gemara continues. Amar Shmuel v'tzorech l'tokvo b'mayim. When the Eved goes into the mikvah to go and be tovel l'shem Eved Kenani, so you have to go and push down on him in the mikvah. What does that mean? Rashi says, Kishamadvilo l'shem yadus, when you're doing this l'shem Eved Kenani, l'avdus, you're doing this not for becoming a ger, but this is to become an Eved Kenani. That's part of the process of being an Eved Kenani, so he has to have a immersion in the mikvah as well. Sarech shiit kefenu loseis olav ol melocha b'mayim. You have to demonstrate that you're doing this l'shem avdus by putting some sort of a yoke on him, so to say, by pressing down on him. Kedei shetei niris, so that it should appear ketfilas avdus, like a tefillah for avdus, not a tefillah for geirus. Shafilu yomar hu l'shem ben chorin. So therefore, even if he would afterwards say, "Oh, I did it l'shem geirus," lo kana atzmo ben chorin, he doesn't become a ben chorin, but he stays as an eved kenani. Lo ye mamoshus b'dvarim, and his words will have zero meaning in this situation, as we just explained in the first part of the shir. So if you're doing it l'shem abdus, l'shem eved kenani, so then you have to demonstrate that Shmuel says. Kihai, and the Gemara gives an example, like it was in the situation of Diminyonmin, that was his name, Abde de Rav Ashi, who was going to become an Eved of Rav Ashi, and boy let Bule, and he was going to immerse him, L'shem Avdus, L'shem Eved Kenani. So he turned him over, Masrei Nihal Lo'ayu, he gave him over to L'Ravina U'L'Ravacha Berei de Rava, to these two Misharsim of Rav Ashi, to go and arrange and handle this Tvila L'shem Eved Kenani. And he told them, he said, Chazu d'minayichu koboyisle, you better be careful. If you don't do it right, I'm going to come back at you. I'm going to say, if he does this l'shem freedom, if he does this l'shem ben chorin, so I'm going to hold you accountable. You're going to be financially responsible for my loss. So therefore, what did they do? Ramule arvisa, that's the girsa that we have, they placed around Betzavari, they placed around his neck this arvisa. Rashi explains that this is something called the kabisteri, which is sort of like a leash around his neck. If you've seen the Masoros HaShas in Ozayin, he says the word should be arusei, and it means pirush shalshela, some sort of a chain. So this would demonstrate, again, subservience to the master. And arpule betzamtzmule, they sometimes made it loose and they sometimes made it tight. What does this mean? Arpule, they made it loose, ki hechidol hevi chatzitza, so they shouldn't constitute a chatzitza between his body and the water. But samsumule, they tightened it in order, kiheche, the low lickdom, that he shouldn't be able to run ahead, so to say, jump in and say, I'm doing this l'shem freedom, l'shem bas ben chorin. The lema, that he shouldn't say, l'shem ben chorin anitovel, that I'm doing this l'shem ben chorin. The bach deletes the word lo, that's why I deleted it as well. So kiheche, the low lakdim, l'shem ben chorin anitovel. So this person shouldn't have the ability to go and say, I'm doing this l'shem ben chorin. And one more thing that they did, bahade, the dali reishim imai, when he poked his head up out of the water. Anchule zulto de tino areshes. So they placed upon his head some bag of mud. Rashi says zulto de tina means kli, a utensil, molitit that was filled with mud, filled with cement of some sort. And this way it would demonstrate that he was an eved. Varmule, they told him, zil ante lebe morcho, bring this to your master's house. So that they clarified and demonstrated that this was l'shem eved kenani and not l'shem ben chorin. Okay. Again, Abdus is not something that we can easily understand. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, Rav Papa says to Rava, Chazimar hane devei Papa Baraba. Go look at the people that live in the house of Papa Baraba. What do? The Yave Zuze le'inshe l'charagrayu. They and go give money to the king for the people that couldn't pay the head tax. There was a certain tax. Every person, it's called the head tax. Every person had to pay it. That's why it's called kraga. It's for their head. The tax that each person had to pay. If a person couldn't pay it, so they put him into jail. They were essentially thrown into a debtor's jail. So anybody that redeemed them would pay the tax. The king said, good, I got my tax money. I'm fine. And then that person who you redeemed would have to pay off his debt, whatever you redeem. You paid $1,000 head tax, so he had to work for you for $1,000. Umshabdibu. So they go and take these people, they use them as slaves, and then when they're finished paying off the debt, so they're not in eternal slaves, so it was $1,000 they had tax, so they have to work $1,000, and now they go free. So he asked the question, Kinafki, when these people go free from, they repaid their debt to the house of Papa Baraba, who redeemed them from the king's debtor's jail. So kinaki, when they go free, do they need a full get of cherus or not? Tzricha get of the cherusa or lo? Do they need an emancipation document? Do they need to have a full-fledged get? A get means a document. Do they need, over here, a get of the cherusa, a document showing that they're free people or not? So that's what they asked, or a papa asked to Rabba. So Amalei, Rabba says to Rapapa, Iku shrive, if I had died, lo amri l'chu hamilsa, I wouldn't have had a chance to go and tell you this. This is an expression that we find in a number of places in the Gemara. He's saying, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive and well to be able to tell you the answer to your question. And he said, Hocham Rishesha, this is what Rishesha said, Morai Kayu, Dahane Betavso Damauka Monach, that Moraiku Damani, Sarashi explains This means Chosmon Shel Elu, their seal of Avdus, so to say, was based upon the king. B'tapsa d'malka, the gifts that we have is Shehein. The Bach says that it should be Shehoyu Lehen Le'avodim. They should be for slaves. So therefore, the king said, Umalka Omar, Mandalo Yov Kraga, the one who doesn't pay the head tax, Mishtabed Lamanda Yov Kraga. He's a slave for the one that will eventually pay for it. So therefore, they are in fact transferred over into the ownership of the one who paid the head tax for them, and therefore they are considered their slaves, and therefore they do require a get of chayrus. They should get a document saying that they're no longer slaves. Okay. Rav Chiya bar Abba ikla legavla. Rav Chiya bar Abba once came to the city known as Gavla, and Chazu, he saw over there, Benos Yisrael, that there were Jewish women, the Ma'abran Migerim Shemalu Velotavlu. And he saw that there were Jewish women there that had husbands that had been Gerim, that were converts, but they had only undergone Mila, but they had never undergone Tvila. So therefore, what was their status of their husbands? They become pregnant from them, so now the question is also, what is their children's status, the fetus inside of the mother, this woman who's pregnant? When that child is born, what will be the status of that child? Will they be considered a full-fledged Jewish child from the father that is Jewish and the mother is Jewish, or do we say, no, that the father is not a full convert? He had Mila, but he didn't have Tvila. So this is what Rav Chiya bar Abba saw. He also saw two other things. Chaza, he saw Chamer the Yisrael, wine from Yidden, the Mazgei Ovdei Kolchavim, that the Ovdei Kolchavim had diluted it with water. Their wines were concentrated, and they would dilute them in a 1-3 ratio. Vishasu Yisrael, and the Jewish people drank this wine that had been diluted by the Ovdei Kolchavim. They were not concerned that this was Yain Nesach or even Stam Yenam. And number three, he saw v'chazer tumasin. Tumasin is a certain type of like a cooked bean, the shalke ovdei kochavim v'achle Yisrael, that was being cooked over here by the ovdei kochavim, by the non-Jews, and it was being eaten by Yisrael. In other words, there was no concern apparently that these people had for bishul akum. Now, Rav Chiya bar Abba saw this, and he didn't say anything, implying that it was good. Also, the Kaimi Rav Yochanan, he comes back to Rav Yochanan and his Rebbe, and he asks them, what should I have said? Should I have done something for these three situations, for these women, their children, what was their status, and the wine that I saw, as well as the turmasim that I saw the meeting, what should I have said? So Amalei, Rav Yochanan told him, say, v'achreiz, go back there and announce to all those people that in this town of Gavla, al b'neihem shem mamzerim, that their children are in fact mamzerim, because, as we'll see in a moment, he felt that this wasn't an adequate conversion. They only had Mila, not Tvila, so therefore the father was still a guy, and he was of the opinion, we had this discussion in yesterday's year, that an eved, Akam Abba Abbas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. So that will be the first thing that we'll explain. And he'll say, Val Yena Mishum Yein Nesach. He was concerned that when the Ovei Kochavim diluted the Yisrael's wine, it did turn it, in fact, to Yayin Nesach, or a concern at least of Stam Yenam. So he said, go and announce that. And about this Tumasin, that they were cooked by the Goyim, is it a question of Bishul Akam? And so he said, yes, go and tell them, Mishum Bishul Ovei Kochavim, that this is a problem of Bishul Akam. However, Lefi She'enam B'nei Torah, he added on something here. He said, the reason why it's a problem is because they are not B'nei Torah. Implication being that if they were B'nei Torah, it would not be a problem, which is strange, which we'll have to explain. Now the Gemara will explain all three of these things. So the first case was, why were the children considered mamzerim, these women who had relations with a person, a goy, who had Bila for conversion, but didn't yet have Tvila, so he held Abaneim Shei Mamzerim, Rabbi Yochanan Taimei. Rabbi Yochanan went according to his own Shita, the Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba himself, the same name Rabbi Yochanan, Lolan Ein Ger, Achiyimo Vietbol. In order for a person to be a full 100% convert, he not only has to have Mila, but he also has Tvila. This is, of course, besides Kabbalah's all mitzos. He has to, of course, accept upon himself the mitzos, but that's a given. Now, he also needs to have both Mila and Tvila, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, in this situation, the Kivin de Lo Tovil, they didn't have Tvila. They had Mila, they had Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs, they had Mila, but they didn't have Tvila. The Kivin de Lo Tovil of the Kochavno, they're still considered Goyim, and therefore he also held the Omer Rabba Baruchan, Omer Yochan. We had this in yesterday this year. Ovi Kochavim, Yevet Abba Abbas Yisrael, Hablad Mamzer. In this situation, therefore, he held that those pregnant women, Jewish women, unfortunately were carrying a Mamzer. So that explains the first thing that Rav Yochanan told Rav Chiya bar Abba to go back and announce. The second thing was, why is that? Mishum, lech lech amrin nazira, sechor sechor lecharma lo tikrab. Because we have a famous rule that a person who's a nazir should stay far away from anything that could potentially be a problem for him as a nazir. He's not allowed to have grapes, he's not allowed to have the skin, he's not allowed to have the wine, obviously. So stay away as far as you can. So in this situation as well, when the Ovei Kohavim is going and diluting the wine, as Rashi says in the first of the wide lines in the Rashi, even though they didn't actually touch the wine, but since they poured the water into these wine barrels or jugs, so they're moving the wine indirectly through their koach, and therefore also mishum lech lechamin lezira. And therefore, this is a gedder, this is a fence around this din, stay far away from it, and therefore he said that this wine should be treated as yai nesach, not a good thing to have done. And the third statement that Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Barabbah to announce about those turmasin, those beans that were cooked, about turmasin, he says that they're not allowed to eat them mishum bishul ovdei kochavim, mishum bishule ovdei kochavim. Why? Lafish enu b'nei Torah, because they're not b'nei Torah. But that implication is, ha b'nei Torah shari, would we allow a person who is a ben Torah to eat bishul akam? V'amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok mishmei derav. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok said the name of Rav, kol anechol kemo shuchai, something that's eaten raw, so then there is no din of bishul akam. Ein bo mishum bishule avdei kochavim. So, for example, carrots. Carrots are eaten raw. Okay, you can also have cooked carrots, but since it's eaten raw, there is no din of bishul akum, even if an akum went and cooked it. So, too, over here, if turmasin were eaten raw, so then it wouldn't be a problem of bishul akum, but they're not eaten raw. He says, turmus, eino necholin kemo shuchai. They're not eaten raw, they're only eaten cooked, and therefore, the yesh bishul bishulay o de kochon. Therefore, there's a problem of bishul akum. So, your statement that it's only a problem of bishul akum because they're not b'nei Torah, implying that if they were b'nei Torah, it's permissible, that goes against what Rav said. That goes against Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok mishmei de Rav. So Gemara says, no, it doesn't. Rav Yochanan ki'idach lishnas yulei. Rav Yochanan had heard this member said over in a slightly different way in the name of Rav. He had heard the Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok mishmei de Rav. This is another characteristic of what constitutes something being bishul akum. If it's served at the royal dinners, if it's served on the shulchan malachim, at the table of the kings, so then if they would eat this type of a food at the state dinner, so then it's considered something that is roy to be a problem of bishul akum. So if it's not kosher, ain't olal shulchan malachim lecho bo asapas, ain't bo mishum bishul oyel dekhon, then it doesn't have a problem of bishul akum. So therefore, in fact, these turmasim are not really eaten at a state dinner. So yes, they're not eaten raw. So from that characteristic, they would not be allowance for anybody to eat them because they're definitely bishul. They're not eaten raw. So from that point of view, it would be a problem of bishul akum. But it also needs to have this characteristic that's eaten at the royal tables. And the turmasim was not considered a fancy dish, and it wasn't eaten at the royal tables. So therefore, technically, everybody's allowed to eat it. But he forbade them, the non-B'nai Torah, to eat it. The time of the Eino B'nai Torah, he said, we have to put in a gather over here, a fence over here, for the non-B'nai Torah, because they're not going to realize this distinction. They're going to think that anything that's cooked by a guy is fine. They're not going to realize that this is only fine because it's not brought on the Shulchan Shel Malachim. And therefore, for Lav B'nai Torah, it's Aser. Therefore, time of the Ein B'nai Torah, Ha B'nai Torah, but if they were B'nai Torah and they understand the distinction between Ola L'Shulchan Malachim and not Ola L'Shulchan Malachim, then it would be permissible. Ha B'nai Torah, therefore Shari. So that explains Rabbi Yochanan's three rulings over here, which he told Rechia Bar Abba to go and announce in the city of Gavla. Mark continues and says, Tanya Rabban, we learn the following braisa, Ger Shemal V'lo Tovah. Since we just talked about Rabbi Yochanan Shita saying you need both Mila and Tefillah, we'll discuss that a little bit more. So, the first opinion over here is if you have a ger that had milah but didn't have tefillah, so Rav Yochanan said that's not a ger. Rav Elazar disagrees. Rav Elazar omer ha'i ger. That is a perfectly good ger. Shekei motzinu baboseinu, because we find by our forefathers when we left Mitzrayim, Shemalu, they had bris milah performed on Yudalid, the day that they brought the Korban Pesach, they also did bris milah. That's b'domayi chayi, b'domayi chayi. Those are the two bloods. We say this at the Seder. The two bloods that got us out of Mitzrayim was one, the bringing of the Korban Pesach, which was the Egyptian garden. It was a very, very, very big thing. That's why it's called Shabbos HaGolu, because we took it on Shabbos HaGolu. We said, we're taking your garden, we're going to shecht it. And we did this with full emunah and bitochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that was the blood, the first blood that was a schus for us. We were at Eron Ve'eriyah. We had no zechusim. So this was a great zechus for us. And likewise, doing the bris milah on Yadalit as well. So that was a great zechus for us. That's the other blood. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds that since in Mitzrayim it doesn't mention anything about doing a tefillah, it just says that we did milah, shekei motzin mavasinu, shemalu v'lo tavlu, doesn't mention anything about tefillah on that day. So therefore, that should be adequate. Next case that's discussed is what about Toval v'lo mol? If the person, in fact, went and had tefillah, the person who's going to convert, had tefillah. He went and immersed himself in the mikvah for lo mol, but he didn't go and actually have the milah. In that situation, Rabbi Shua Meir also harays a ger. He says that that's a perfectly good convert, even though he didn't have the bris milah yet. And why is this? So Rabbi Shua says, I have the perfect raya from women. Shekem Matzino Bimos, the Jewish women, the Halakha Jewish women, Bishul Nashim Sitkonios Nigalu Vasidin Ligal, the Halakha Jewish women, the great righteous Jewish women, they don't undergo bris milah. Right? There is, unfortunately, a horrible corruption of this in the Muslim world, where they do have the women undergo some sort of I'll call it a mutilation, some sort of a female circumcision, but that's keneged halacha, and that's certainly not something that the women of Yiddishkeit were ever commanded to do. So Rabbi Yeshua says that since we find that a woman can become a gioret without having to undergo bris milah, so obviously the bris milah can't be ma'akev. Just like that they were shetavlu v'lo mo'alu, they didn't undergo a bris milah, so therefore, obviously, it can't be essential. However, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim amrim, tova v'lo mo'al, mo'al v'lo tova, they disagree with both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that if you have only one of the two, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you had milah and not tefillah, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you had tefillah and not milah, and certainly, in the situation we don't have either one, ein ger, ad sheyimol v'yitbol. The Chachamim's opinion is that for a man, you must have both milah and tefillah. They agree that, of course, a woman doesn't have milah, but a woman needs tefillah. But you can't bring me a raya from the fact that a woman doesn't need milah, that a man also doesn't need milah. New Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, nami, nelef mi'avos. So why did Rabbi Yeshua say we should learn from the women that didn't require bris milah, but learn it from the men that did require bris milah? And likewise, Rabbi Eliezer, nami, nelef mi'mos. Let Rabbi Eliezer also learn it from the women that milah should not be ma'ake because the women didn't have milah. So each one, Rabbi Eliezer, why didn't he learn like Rabbi Yeshua, and why did Rabbi Yeshua learn like Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says, are you going to tell me, v'chitema ain't done in efsha mishi efsha? You're going to tell me the reason why Rabbi Eliezer didn't hold like Rabbi Yeshua is because he says you can't judge something, you can't learn out something that was possible, i.e. milah for men, and say that it's not necessary because there is nothing by women, because that's in the efsha. There is no orla by the women that you would go and cut it off. Are you going to tell me that's Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning? But I'll show you that that understanding, that logic is not right. But Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Minayin lePesach Doro Shein Bo Elam in Achulin. How do we know that the Pesach for all years, Mitzvah Shem, this year, was still going to bring the Korban Pesach? How do we know that the Korban Pesach for all future generations, that it doesn't come Elam in Achulin, it has to come from Chulin? In other words, it can't come from Maaser Sheni funds, it has to come from Chulin funds, it can't come from funds that are already consecrated for Maaser Sheni. So he says, we learn this out from the Pesach of Mitzrayim. The Pesach of Mitzrayim, there was no Maaser Sheni funds. So Nemar Pesach in Mitzrayim and Nemar Pesach B'Doros. We make a connection between the Pesach that we brought in Mitzrayim, when there was no Maaser Sheni, to the Pesach that we bring in all future generations in Eretz Yisrael, where there is Maaser Sheni. And Ma Pesach Omer B'Mitzrayim Ein Bo Elam Minachulim. Just like the Pesach of Mitzrayim had to come from unconsecrated funds of any sort, it couldn't come from Maaser Sheni funds, even though there were no Maaser Sheni funds. So too, our Pesach Omer B'Doros Ein Bo Elam Minachulim. So the Pesach for all future generations, even when there is Maaser Sheni funds, can't come from Maaser Sheni funds, has to come from Chulin funds. So therefore you see that he is making a connection between something that is Efshar to something that is Efshar. So Rabbi Akiva, v'chidon in Efshar, mishi Efshar, can you do this? Can you learn out something Efshar from Efshar? That's what he asked his Rabbi. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Eliezer said to him, yes, even though in Mitzrayim there was no Maaser Sheni funds, nevertheless, Raya Gedoli, it is a great proof over here to connect the Pesach in Mitzrayim to the Pesach of the Doros, then no mad amen, and we can learn it out. So you clearly see that you can't argue that Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to learn out from the Emos because it's an Efshah situation and you can't learn it out to an Efshah situation. You see clearly that he does hold that you can learn out from an Efshah situation, Maaser Sheni in Mitzrayim, there was no such thing, and yet he learns it out to Pesach Doros where there is such a thing. So that can't be the reason ain't done in Efshah Mishi Efshah. Therefore, the Gemara says, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer hold like Rabbi Yeshua? Ella, and we turn to Mem Vav on the base. The reason is, Bitoval below Mal, if you do talking about that the person who's coming to convert did a tefillah but didn't do a bris milah, so then Kuli Amalo Pligi de Mahani. Everybody agrees that that is good. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say that tefillah alone is adequate. Obviously, the Chachamim disagree, but Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both say that tefillah v'lo mal, if you had tefillah without a bris milah, that is perfectly acceptable. The person becomes a ger. where they argue, ki pligi b'mal v'lo tava. They only have the argument on bris mila, where you just had a mila, but you didn't do tefillah. Here, Rabbi Eliezer, yolof mi'avos. He says, learning that from the avos, in Mitzrayim, we did bris mila on yudalah, but it doesn't mention anywhere that we did tefillah. So therefore, you see that bris mila alone is enough. Rabbi Yeshua, b'avos nami tefillah hava. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, they obviously had a tefillah as well. And where do we know this? Minole, where do we see from Rabbi Yeshua that the Jewish people underwent a tefillah in addition to the bris milah? So are you going to tell me, Ilay mumi d'siv lech el ha'am v'kidashtam hayom machar v'chibsusim lo sam? If you're going to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, pre-Matan Torah, go and prepare yourselves, and go, v'chibsu simlo sam. And what does that mean? Uma b'mokum shein ton kibus, ton tefillah. If a person becomes tamei from a discharge, he has a soft discharge, so he has to go to the mikvah, but it doesn't say anything about being toin tefillah for his clothing. He doesn't require kibus for his clothing. So certainly, mokum shein ton kibus, certainly, here, by pre-Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go tell the people, v'chibsu sim lo sam. So here, they have to go and do a kibbutz on their clothing, shaton kibbutz, so certainly, eino din shaton tefillah, they certainly must require tefillah as well. So the Gemara says, that's not a good raya, because v'dilma, maybe, nikiyus ba'alma. The only reason they were supposed to do this is they should look proper, they should look good, right? A person goes to a wedding, a person goes to an interview for a job, a person goes to some important event, he puts on a nice clean suit, he dresses up nicely. So maybe that's the statement that Moshe Rabbeinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go tell the people, v'chibsu simlo sam. It's going to be an important day called Matan Torah, and therefore dress up nicely. But lav davka, that this is telling us any proof that you require, therefore, to immerse your clothing, and therefore you have to immerse your body as well. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamei Hocha. Here's where Yeshua learns out that the Avos not only underwent Mila on Yudala, but they also did a Tvila. Where is that from? By Kach Moshe Sadom, by Yisroch Alaom. Moshe took the blood from various korbanos that they brought, and he spritzed it on the people. And we have a halacha, we have a Masara, Dein Hazah, below Tvila, that you don't do Hazah unless you also have a Tvila. Tosus explaining Dibra Maskel, Dein Hazah, he says, Meforish Rabbeinu Tam, below Tvila, that you don't have Hazah without doing a Tvila, Lefnei Hazah, before you do the Hazah. Why? Kedele Kabel Hazah. In order for the Hazah to, so to say, work, you need to have a Tvila beforehand. And obviously, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. So Rabbi Eliezer says, there's no evidence that they did a Tvila that day, and Rabbi Yeshua says, here's the evidence that they did a Tvila, Gemiri, Dein Hazah, below Tvila. So great, we see a proof, according to Rabbi Yeshua, where the men had Tvila. We see that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that, but what about the women? Rabbi Yeshua, tefillah b'mos minolin. Where do we find that the women? It says, by kach Moshe Sadom yizrok al ha'am. Does that mean the women too? So the Gemara says, svaru, no, it's logical. The im came, but men nechtesu tachas kaf yishchina. Yeah, they had to have undergone a tefillah as well, because otherwise, what did they do? We know that the men did bris mila and had tefillah, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So what did the women do to become Jewish? So therefore, it's a svara, it's logical, that if for the men, they did bris milah and tefillah, so the women obviously can't do bris milah, but they should do at least the tefillah. Amar b'chiyah barab amar v'yochan. Now we have another statement. B'chiyah barab said, name of v'yochanon, li'olam eino ger achimimo v'yitbo. We find that a person is not considered a convert, achimimo v'yitbo, until you do both. As Rabbi Yochanan had said, milah and tefillah. Pshita, Yochavi Rabbim, Alochik Rabbim. Why is Rav Chiya Bar Abba saying this in the name of Yochanan? It's obvious. We had the opinion of Rav Eliezer, Das Yochav. We had the opinion of Rav Yeshua, Das Yochav. We had the opinion of Chacham that say you need both. So where do we find the need for an Amora to say that the Aloch is like the Rabbim? Yochavi Rabbim, Alochik Rabbim. That's obvious. Pshita. So Gemara says, no, because this isn't a Rabbim. This Chachamim is only Rabbi Yossi. One Chachamim, who's the Chachamim that this speaks about, this is Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya. We see the Bryson, it says, Harei Shabov Yomar Malti Velo Tavalti. If a person comes before a Beis Din and says, I am a convert, I had bris mila, albeit I never had tvila, so matbilin oso umabakach. So they go and immerse him in the mikvah, because big deal, mimon shach. If he needed it, fine. If he doesn't need it, big deal, so you did it. Now, we don't say that he needs to bring edus that his mila was l'shem geirus. So that is the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ain't my bil, and we don't go and put him in the mikvah. We don't allow him to just say, my mila was l'shem geirus, but we need witnesses, we need a beis din to say that the mila, as well as the tefillah, is l'shem geirus. It's not enough to him to say, yeah, I had a bris mila done. Where it says, Lefikoch matvilin ger b'shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, you're allowed to go and be tovel a ger on Shabbos. Why is that? Because the tefillah really doesn't accomplish anything. According to this opinion, the tefillah is a nice additional thing. Mabakach, what's the big deal if you do it? It's not essential. But the meal was essential. That was done before Shabbos. That's the opinion of Yehuda. But according to Rav Yossi, you wouldn't be allowed to go and do a tefillah legeris on Shabbos. Rav Yossi ain't matbilim because, according to Rav Yossi, the tefillah is essential. And therefore, this is the Das Yachid of our Mishnah. It says you need both milah and tefillah. That's the Chacham's opinion. We see that that's really Rav Yossi's opinion. So therefore, it was necessary for Rechia Barabba to say the name of Rav Yochid and that we pasken like this Chacham because it's not a Yachid versus a Rabbin. It's a Yachid versus a Yachid. So he's telling us we pasken like Rav Yossi over the opinion of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Amar, we go back and talk about the second part of this braisa. It said, "Lefi kochma bilin ger b'Shabbos." Rabbi Yehuda had said that there is no problem in going and doing a tefillah for a ger on Shabbos. So it says, "Pshita, kiven dom Rabbi Yehuda b'chadasagi." Since Rabbi Yehuda holds that the milah alone is enough, so then why can't you go do the tefillah on Shabbos? There's no issue involved in going to the mikvah on Shabbos. Hechad amolu fanenu matpilin. So if we know for a fact that he underwent the milah, so of course he can go and immerse him in the mikvah. That wasn't an essential part of the conversion. There's no issue that you're being over here. What does it mean? Mai lefikach. It seems so obvious. Why are you telling me, therefore, I understand it? That seems to be all one and the same din. Someone says, no. Ma'al detem, I might have said that according to this opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, tefillah ikot. No, the tefillah is also essential. I, with tefillah b'Shabbos, lo, that komesakin gavra. I might have thought that, yes, you do need the tefillah, and therefore you can't do it. Therefore, kamash v'lom. So the chiddush is, the Rav Yehuda, oha, boy. He says that you're right, the tefillah is essential if you didn't do a bris milah. But if you did a bris milah, so then the bris milah is enough to make him into a ger, and the tefillah is a nice additional thing, but it's not, therefore, forbidden to do on Shabbos. Then we quote the second part of the braisa where it said, Rav Yossi Omer ein matbilin. Rav Yossi said, we don't allow the tefillah to be done on Shabbos. Again, the Gemara says, it's obvious that you can't do that. Rav Yossi holds you need both. Pshita, the kivan, the Omer Rav Yossi, tarti bo'inon, tikune garva b'Shabbos, lo b'saknenon. According to Rav Yossi, you need both the milah and the tefillah. Just like you can't do the milah on Shabbos, so too, you can't do the tefillah on Shabbos. Both of them are essential. So what would have been the havamina to think that Rav Yossi says you'd be allowed to go be tovel the person on Shabbos? Someone says, no, I might have thought, mal detema le Rav Yossi mila ikar. That in fact, even Rav Yossi agrees that the mila is the essential thing. And the hasam hudalo havai mila befanenu. And only in this case where we didn't have the mila done in front of us, so then we're not sure that the mila was done properly. But if in fact the mila was done in front of the basin and it was done properly, so then maybe I might have thought that this person can in fact have the tefillah done on Shabbos because it's not the most essential thing. The essential thing was the bris mila. Oh, that's the chiddush. The chiddush over here is the Rav Yossi Tarti Boy. He says, no, both of them are essential. It's not that one is more essential than the other. You need the mila and you need the tefillah. Either one alone, according to Rav Yossi, is inadequate. And therefore, whichever one wasn't done before Shabbos is not allowed to be done on Shabbos because that's an essential tikkun for the person. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Omer Rabba, Ma'isa Shahaya, there once was the following case. Uv Dahava, there once was a case. Bei Rabbi Chia, the word that we have is Bar Rabbi, but it really means Beribi. Rabbi Chia wasn't the son of Rabbi, but it was Beribi. He was the God of Lador. Beribi is like Shlita. It's like Rash Bahag. It means a very honorific title. And you can see this in Oz Hey in the Mesoros HaShas. In any event, this mice occurred in the house of Rav Chia, the great Rav Chia. Rav Yosef Masne, he said that this mice wasn't like Rabbi said in the house of Rav Chia. He said, Rav Yosef Masne, it was in Rav Oshaya. Again, we have Bar Rabbi, but it means Beribi. Neither of them was the son of Rabbi. They were the God of Ladar. And this was the superlative that's attached to the name. So either the mice Rabbi says occurred by Rav Chia, Beribi, Shlita, or Rav Yosef says that the mice occurred by Rav Oshaya, Shlita, Beribi. And finally, we have Rav Safra, who says, Masne Rav Oshaya b'Rabbi Chia, that it was Rav Oshaya, who was the son of Rabbi Chia, he was there. Now, Rashi points out that all of them were there. It's not that they're different versions. Rabbah had said, he just mentioned Rav Chia b'Ribi. And Rav Yosef comes and says, by the way, Rav Oshaya b'Ribi was also there. And Rav Safra comes along and tells us that Rav Oshaya, the son of Rabbi Chia, was also there. As Rashi points out, all of them were there. And this is a Beis Din. That's the point, that you needed three people, and that's why it was a Beis Din. Why didn't the first and second opinion, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, mention the others? So each one only mentioned necessarily the most important one that was there. So Rabbah says, this was Rav Chia. He was the greatest one. And Rav Yosef said, oh, Rav Oshai is also great. He deserves to be mentioned. And Rav Sav says the third person is not a slouch either, Rachmana Litzlan. Rav Oshai Berbichi is also a great person, so he mentions him as well. In any event, they constituted a Beis Din. They also lekame ger shemal v'lo tova. And they had the mice that came to them. There was a person who was trying to convert. He had a bris mila. However, he hadn't yet undergone the tefillah. So they said, what should we do? Amalei, shayi kan ad lemachor v'nat bilanach. Stay here until tomorrow, and we'll do a tefillah for you at that point in time. Now, they came to it nighttime. So that's why he said, wait till tomorrow daytime, and we'll do the tefillah then. And the Gemara says, Shema Mino Tlos. We learn three things from here. Number one, Shema Mino, you can learn from here, Ger Tzor Shlosha. You need a Beis Din to go and convert somebody. It's not enough for the person to have a bris mila on their own privately and to go to a mikvah privately, but it must be done in front of a Beis Din. I once had this chus in the hospital to help be part of a Beis Din on an adult that required a bris mila, and it needed to be done in the operating room. So we had a firm urologist who did the bris mila. I served as the head of the Beis Din, and the anesthesiologist was also a firm anesthesiologist. So that constituted the Beis Din in the operating room, and we did the bris mila l'shem geirus. So that's the first thing that we learned from here, that a Beis Din is required. Second thing we learned, ushma minah eino ger. Person isn't considered a full-fledged ger. You need both the mila. He already had the mila, but they said, no, you also need to undergo a tefillah. So you're not considered a full ger until you undergo both the mila and the tefillah, like Rabbi Yochanan and Paskin, and like we had brought down in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the quote, chachamim. And the third thing that we learn from this, ma'isu, shema mina, ein mapil and ger b'layla. You don't convene the Beis Din to go and immerse somebody at night. The tefillah has to be done during the daytime. Beis Din sits during the daytime. Mori asks, why don't we learn from here that you also need a Beis Din that's comprised of three mumchin, with the three people who are at this Beis Din? We have Rav Chiya, Rav Oshaya, and Rav Chiya Bar Oshaya. So these were great, great individuals. So maybe we say every Beis Din has to be like this. There should be Shema Mino, fourth thing. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. This is just circumstances. Dilma, Diaklu. Maybe this is just what happened, that they, those three great people had been there. But let's say they hadn't been there, they would have pulled enough a yid off the street and said, help us make up the Beis Din. So that's not a riot. Gemara says, Amar Chiya Barab, Amar Yochanan. Another thing that Rav Chiya Barab said, Rav Yochanan, Ger Tzorek Shlosha. He also said that the Ger does require Shlosha. So this Shmamina that we just brought down was a separate statement that Rav Chiya Barab also made in the name of Rav Yochanan. And where do we get this from? Because the Pasuk says, Mishpat Kisiv Bey. The Pasuk tells us that we have to do this with a Mishpat. Torah achas u'mishpat echad yelechem v'lager hagor itchem. So this word mishpat in that pasuk is essential. Therefore, you need a Beis Din. Beis Din is comprised of three tamidei chachamim, ideally. Tana Rabbanu, misha bov yomar ger ani. If a person comes and says, I'm a ger, yochel lekablenu, you might have thought that we should accept him at face value and say, this person is a ger. Tamid lomar itecha. The pasuk says, v'chi yagor itecha ger b'yartzechem. What does that mean? You have to know that he, in fact, converted for certain. Now, we're dealing here, the Mepharshim all explain, that we knew for a fact that he was a Goy at one point in time. Because if he did know he was a Goy, so then there's a Migo. He could easily have said, I'm Jewish from birth. So the fact that he says, therefore believe me when I say that I was a Goy from birth, but I converted, so then he would have a Chazaka that he would be believed. Because Migo, he could have said, I was Jewish from birth. But here we know that he was a Goy from birth. We know this guy used to be called Chris. And now he says, my name is Yankel. I underwent the Mila and the Tvila, Kabbalah Sol Mitzos, and Beis Din converted me. So we don't know that for a fact. So then we need evidence. We need proof of that, because here we have a Chazaka that he wasn't a yid, so therefore, unless we have some sort of a proof, it needs to be itecha b'muchsuk lecha. Ba ve'ed of imo minayin. How do we know, however, that if he does come with witnesses who said that yes, this person is a convert, that we do accept that? Tamad lomar v'chi yagor itecha ger, as it says, if he will go and be with you v'chi yagor itecha, so that implies under any circumstance. As Rashi says, the last Rashi on the daf, he says mikol makom. As long as he's living with under any situation, then it's acceptable. And obviously, he says the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, kivan the aid of imo pshita umi baikra. If you have witnesses, of course it's good. Why would I need a pasuk to tell me that witnesses are good? So Rashi says we'll address that on mem zayin omud aleph. And then yet we continue dashing the pasuk. Again, the pasuk is v'chiyagur itcha ger bi'artzechem lo sonu oso. So what does the word bi'artzechem mean? We turn to mem zayin omud aleph. This would have thought that maybe only in Eretz Yisrael can you go accept Gerim. How do we know that even the Chutz Laaretz were allowed to be accepting Gerim? Wherever you are, wherever you are, you can accept Gerim. So then why does it say Be'aretz Shechem? In Cain, Ma Talmud Lomer Ba'aretz, why does it say in Eretz Yisrael? Why does the pasuk tell us that it has to be Be'aretz Shechem? So the word says, Ba'aretz Tzarech Lavi Raya. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to bring a Raya. Be'chutz La'aretz Ein Tzarech Lavi Raya. In Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to bring a Raya. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. What's the rationale behind this? Tzarech Lavi Raya, Rashi, on the top of the first line, Shebe'ez Din is guy. He has to bring a Raya that he was, in fact, a convert in a Beis Din, because just like the Givonim, Rashi says, Shemo Givoni, Malhu, just like the Givonim, they underwent Bris Mila, and they wanted to fake it and make believe that they were Jews. They wanted to trick Yoshua, Mishum She Shvacha the Eretz Yisrael, because of the greatness of being living in Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish ownership and under Jewish domain. So the guy would want to convert. In the days of David and Shlomo, everybody wanted to convert. So therefore, you needed proof that they converted in true Beis Din. In Chutz La'aretz, with all the persecutions, with everything going on, so nobody's going to say that they're Jewish unless they really were Jewish. So therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, you don't need proof. But Eretz Yisrael, Tzarech Lahavi Raya. In Chutz La'aretz, Ein Tzarech Lahavi Raya. This is the opinion, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham disagree. Chacham omrim, Bein Baris, Bein Chutz La'aretz, Tzarech Lavi Raya. You need to bring a Raya, both in Eretz Yisrael and even in Chutz La'aretz. We don't accept your word if we know for a fact that you were once a guy, so then we need a proof that you had a valid conversion. Now the Gemara says, Bahu v'yedav imo kro lomali. This is the question I alluded to at the very bottom of Memvav Mibbeis. Why would I need a pasuk to tell me that the Chiyagur tells me that no matter how they live with you, you need to bring Edim. So once you bring Edim, so then I know that he's a valid convert. Why do we need a pasuk to tell me with Edim he's a valid convert? So where he says, no. Amr Shesh is the Amri Shamanu Shinis Gai Beveiz Dino Shoploni. Because these witnesses aren't witnesses that they saw the actual Geiris, but they're testifying that, yes, we heard that he was in fact this guy in such and such a Beis Din. So Kedai Techamino, that that's hearsay evidence. You might have said, Lohem knew that we shouldn't believe them. Edim to come along and say, we heard that Ruvain owed Shimon $100. That's not good testimony. They have to say, we saw that Ruvain lent Shimon $100, and therefore Shimon owns Ruvain $100. So I might have thought that hearsay evidence about this Ger having been misguided in such and such a basis would not be acceptable. Kamash Malan. That's what the Pasuk Tzchidish is, that this is acceptable in this situation. Now, why is that acceptable? So the understanding is that a dover she osid legalos, something that will eventually become clear, nobody's going to lie about. So therefore, these witnesses, if they say, yes, we heard so-and-so was in fact converted in front of that Beis Din, so then you can take that to the bank. Now we said the pasuk says Ba'aretz, really means Ba'aretz Echem, so that pasuk we said taught us that we accept not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutz La'aretz. Only El Ba'aretz. The word Ba'aretz Echem would imply only in Eretz Yisrael. But Chutz La'aretz Minayin, how do we know that? Talmud Lomar, Itcha, which implies B'chol Mokum Shitcha. This is a repeat of what we just learned in the Braisa. But we needed the word Itcha V'afikte to teach us that the Ger has to bring proof that he was converted. It's not enough for him to say that he was converted. We knew for a fact that he was a guy beforehand, so then he needs to bring proof. So I need the word itcha to teach me that. How can I also have it to come to teach me that in Chutz La'aretz we accept Gerim? So Gemara says, chada mi'itcha. You're right. One of these drashos is from the word itcha. The chada me'imach. And the other one we learn out from imach. So itcha teaches us that he has to bring proof, and me'imach teaches us that we accept Gerim even in Chutz La'aretz. Then we said in the Braisa, the Chacham Omrim Bein Baris Bein Chutz La'aretz Tzarech Lavi Raya. The Chacham hold that even in Chutz La'aretz you have to bring a Raya. We understood why the opinion of the Tanakama was that you don't have to bring a Raya, Divrei Yehuda, in Chutz La'aretz, because who would want to convert? There's no advantage. In Eretz Yisrael, there's an advantage of being a Yid. But in Chutz La'aretz, what's the advantage? So therefore, they don't need a Raya. But the Chacham say you have to bring a Raya. I, the Elohoksi Ba'aretz, Ba'aretzuchem, the Pasuk says Ba'aretzuchem, so the word says no. How mi boile dafilu Ba'aretz Makabal Gerim? That's coming to be Machadish to us that even in Eretz Yisrael will Makabal Gerim. Because I might have thought the Soka Daita Chaminach, I might have thought Mishum Tivusa, the Eretz Yisrael Komagayre, that the only reason they're coming to convert is because of the benefits of being a Yid in Eretz Yisrael. There are tax benefits, there are property benefits, there are all sorts of other rights that accrue to a Yid in Eretz Yisrael that wouldn't occur to a Ger Toshev in Eretz Yisrael, wouldn't occur to a guy in Eretz Yisrael. That's why he's coming to convert. Oh, Bahash Danami, the Lekha Tivusa. So I might have thought that nowadays, those advantages that were present, for example, in times of David and Shlomo, no longer exist. All the bracha of Eretz Yisrael has never gone away with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So I might have thought, Hash Danami, the Lekha Tivusa, that we would accept Gerim in Eretz Yisrael, even without any proof. So, Ika, Lekha, Shichra, Peah, Umaysi, Oni. Today, even in Eretz Yisrael today, Bizman hazeh, there are advantages in terms of the produce that goes to a yid, the leket shilcha pei and the ma'aser ani that are to be given to a yid. So we might have thought that a guy is going to go and say, I'm a convert, in order for those minimal but still real advantages of being a yid in Eretz Yisrael, that he can go collect leket shilcha pei and ma'aser ani, kamash ulan. That's why we need the pasuk to tell me that even today in Eretz Yisrael, we would require proof that he's a convert, and in Chutz Laaretz, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we do not. Again, another tough sugya, another tough shir. Be'ezus Hashem, we finished. With this, we conclude today's shir.